ASMR Garden. My name is Melly, and I am so eager to get into tonight's episode, and I'm so thrilled to be here with each and every one of you. I hope that you had an amazing October, and that you are ready for November. It is November 1st today on this lovely Sunday. This is month 11 out of 12, of course, and that means we have almost made it. The entirety of 2020. We are about to say hasta la vista to such, I don't even know how to explain this year, but I think it is time for us to all keep moving on. 2021, two more months. So, before we get into the episode, I wanted to give a few announcements, give a few thank yous, and yeah, you know, just ramble, let you all settle in for the evening before we get into a second reading of The Little Prince. First and foremost, I want to thank you for being here each week and for supporting me, supporting the podcast, and for investing your time and for trusting me to help you out, help you fall asleep, help you get ready for work, help you finish your tasks, whatever it is. I'm just really happy that I get to be here for you. You know, the reason that I bring up 2021 is just that I'm so excited to be able to put a whole nother year into this podcast and to come up with a whole bunch of new goals. And yeah, so it's just always so heartwarming when we finish another month, and yeah, I get to go into a whole nother one and see what we kind of come up with. And so that's that on that. Only a few announcements before we move on, but I just wanted to let everybody know that November is going to be the last regular month of the year. So what that means is for the next 5 Sundays, we will be having regular episodes and the regular YouTube uploads. But once December comes, if you are not a part of the Patreon, you will not be getting any new content until January of 2021. That is because I'm going to be taking December off to recuperate and record and schedule and prepare things as I can to get back to as many of you as I can. I have such a hard time getting back to emails and messages because I'm just working on getting the content out that you so desperately deserve. So December is going to be quiet on the main podcast, but on my Patreon, you can pledge for 1 month on December 1st. Then yeah, you get all of the content that has been on there since we've launched in October. And then, you know, once January comes back around, then I will be right back to our regularly scheduled Sunday uploads. I just wanted to be transparent and let you know that this is a planned break. So that is all that I have to say. Let's get into this episode. I soon learned to know this flower better. There had always been very simple flowers on the little prince's planet, with a single ring of petals occupying very little space and no trouble to anybody. They would appear one morning in the grass and fade away in the evening. But seed blown from no one knew where. A new flower had come up, and the little prince had watched very closely over the small shoot, which was not at all like any of the other shoots on his planet. It could have been a new kind of baobab, but the plant soon stopped growing and started to develop a flower. The little prince, watching the growth of an enormous bud, sensed that this could well lead to a miraculous apparition, but the flower continued her preparations for her beauty in the shelter of her green chamber. She chose her colors with great care. She dressed slowly, carefully arranging her petals one by one. She didn't wish to appear all crumpled like a poppy. She only wished to appear in the full glory of her beauty. Oh yes, she was very vain. Her mysterious preparations had lasted for days and days. And then, one morning when the sun was rising, she suddenly showed herself. And having worked so hard and taken such care, she yawned and said, "Ah, I'm only half awake, forgive me. I'm still quite disheveled." But the little prince couldn't restrain his admiration and exclaimed, "Oh, how beautiful you are." "Am I not?" the flower replied gently. "And I was born at the same time as the sun." The little prince had to admit that she was not excessively modest, but she was so enchanting. "I believe it's time for breakfast," she added a moment later. "Would you be kind enough to attend to my needs?" And the little prince, totally abashed, at once fetched a can of fresh water and sprinkled the flower. Thus it was that she began from the outset to torment him with her demanding vanity. One day, for example, referring to her four thorns, she said to the little prince, "Let them come, those tigers with their claws." "But there are no tigers on my planet," objected the little prince. "And anyway, tigers don't eat weeds." "But I am not a weed," the flower replied sweetly. "Please forgive me. I am not afraid of tigers, but I hate droughts. You wouldn't have a screen for me by any chance." "A horror of droughts. That's really bad luck for the plant," remarked the little prince, thinking to himself. "This flower is indeed a very complex creature. In the evening, I want you to put me under a glass dome. It is very cold here where you live, and rather uncomfortable. Now, where I come from..." Too late. suspect that for his escape, he took advantage of the migration of wild birds. On the morning of his departure, he put his planet in perfect order. He carefully swept his active volcanoes. He possessed two active volcanoes, and they were very convenient for eating his breakfast in the morning. He also had a volcano which was extinct, but as he pointed out, you never know. So he also cleaned out the extinct volcano. If they were properly swept, volcanoes burn gently and regularly without any eruptions. Volcanic eruptions are like chimney fires. On Earth, of course, we are far too small to sweep our volcanoes. That is why they cause us so much trouble. The little prince tore up, not without a sense of sorrow, the last little baobab shoot. He believed that he would never have to return. But all these familiar activities seemed very precious to him on that last morning. And when he watered the flower for the last time and prepared to place her under her glass dome, he felt like crying. "Goodbye," he said to the flower. But she did not. Said again. The flower coughed, but it was not because she had a cold. "I've been silly," she whispered at last. "Please forgive me. Try to be happy." He was surprised by the absence of reproaches. He just stood there, quite bewildered, with the dome poised in midair. He did not understand this quiet sweetness. "Of course, I love you," the flower said to him. "If you were not aware of it, it was my fault. That is not important. But you have been just as foolish. Try to be happy. Leave that dome alone. I don't want it any longer." But the wind. "My cold is not that bad. The night air will do me good. I am a flower. But what about animals? I shall have to put up with a few caterpillars if I want to see butterflies. I understand they are very beautiful. Otherwise, who will ever call upon me? You will be very far away. As to large animals, I am not afraid of them. I have my claws." And as naive as ever, she showed her four thorns. Then she added, "Don't hang about so. It's irritating. You've decided to leave, so leave." For she didn't want him to see her crying. She was a very proud flower. Himself in the neighborhood of the asteroids 325, 326, 327, 328, 329, and 330. So he started by visiting them to look for an occupation and to add to his knowledge. The first one was inhabited by a king. Clad in purple and ermine, he was seated on a throne, both simple and majestic. "Ah, here comes a subject," exclaimed the king when he spied the little prince. And the little prince wondered to himself, "How can he recognize me since he has never seen me before?" He did not know that for kings, the world is greatly simplified. To them, all men are subjects. "Come a little closer so that I may see you better," said the king, inordinately proud of having someone to be king over at last. The little prince looked around to find a place to sit down, but the entire planet was covered by a magnificent ermine robe. So he remained standing, and since he was tired, he yawned. "It is contrary to etiquette to yawn in the presence of a king," said the monarch. "I forbid it. respected. He tolerated no disobedience. He was an absolute monarch. But as he was very kind, he gave reasonable orders. If I ordered a general, he would say, if I ordered a general to change himself into a seabird, and if the general did not obey, it wouldn't be the general's fault. It would be my fault for ordering him to do the impossible. May I sit down? Asked the little prince shyly. I order you to sit down, replied the king, majestically gathering a fold of his ermine robe around him. But the little prince was puzzled. The planet was tiny. Over what could this king really rule? Sire, he began, please excuse my asking you a question. I order you to put your question to me, the king was quick to reply. Sire, over what do you rule? Over everything, replied the king very simply. Over everything. The king made a sweeping gesture, taking in his own planet, the other planets and the stars. Over all that, said the little prince. Over all that, replied the king, for he was not only an absolute monarch, but a universal one. And the stars obey. Of course, said the king. They obey immediately. I do not tolerate insubordination. The little prince marveled at such power. Had he possessed it, he could have watched not 44, but 72, or even 100, or 200 sunsets in one and the same day, without ever having to move his chair. And as he was feeling rather sad, remembering his small, abandoned planet, he plucked up the courage to ask the king a favor. I should like to see a sunset. Please do me that kindness. Order the sun to set. If I were to order a general to fly from one flower to another like a butterfly, or to write a tragedy, or to change himself into a seabird, and if the general did not carry out the order, which one of us would be at fault? It would be you, said the little prince firmly. Exactly. One must demand of each and every one what he or she is capable of. Authority is first and foremost based on reason. If you order your people to throw themselves into the sea, you will have a revolution on your hands. I have the right to demand obedience because my orders are reasonable ones. What about my sunset? The little prince reminded him, for he never forgot a question once he had asked it. You shall have your sunset. I shall demand it. But in accordance with scientific government, I shall wait until conditions are favorable. And when will that be? Asked the little prince. Hum, hum, replied the king, consulting his big calendar. Hum, hum, it will be around this evening about 8:20. And you shall see how well I am obeyed. The little prince yawned. He regretted having to miss the sunset, but he was becoming a little bored. I have nothing more to do here, he said to the king. So I'll be on my way. Don't leave, said the king, who was too proud of having a subject. I'll make you minister. A minister of what? Of justice. But there is nobody here to judge. We do not know that, said the king. I haven't yet made a complete tour of my kingdom. I am very old, and walking makes me very tired, but there is no room here for a carriage. is far more difficult to judge oneself than to judge others. If you succeed in judging yourself rightly, then you indeed are very wise. As far as I am concerned, said the little prince, I can judge myself anywhere. I do not have to live here. Hum, said the king. I do believe that somewhere on my planet there is an old rat. I can hear him at night. You can judge that old rat. You will condemn him to death from time to time. Thus his life will depend upon your justice. But on each occasion you will spare him, so as to keep him alive. He is the only one we have. I, replied the little prince, do not like to condemn anything to death, and I think I'll be on my way. No, said the king. And the little prince, having completed his preparations, had no wish to hurt the feelings of the old monarch. If your majesty wishes to be promptly obeyed, you should give me a reasonable order. You could, for example, order me to be gone in less than a minute. It seems to me that conditions are favorable. As the king said nothing, the little prince hesitated a moment and then, with a sigh, took his leave. I make you my ambassador, the king called after him in haste. He had a magnificent air of authority. Grown-ups are very strange, said the little prince to himself, continuing on his journey. Chapter 11. The second planet was inhabited by a conceited individual. Aha! Here comes an admirer, he exclaimed as, from afar, he caught the sight of the little prince. For conceited men see all other men as admirers. Good morning, said the little prince. You're wearing a funny kind of hat. It is a hat for salutes, the conceited man replied, to raise when people acclaim me. Unfortunately, nobody ever comes this way. Indeed, said the little prince, who did not understand what the conceited man was talking about. Clap your hands, the conceited man advised. The little prince clapped his hands. The conceited man raised his hat in a modest salute. This is more fun than my visit to the king, the little prince said to himself, and he tried clapping his hands again. The conceited man once again raised his hat in salute. After 5 minutes of this exercise, the little prince grew tired of the monotony of the game. And to make you lower your hat, what should one do? He asked. But the conceited man didn't hear him. Conceited men only hear praise. Do you really admire me very much? He asked the little prince. What does admire mean? To admire means that you consider me the handsomest, the best dressed, the richest, and the most intelligent man on this planet. But you are all alone on your planet. Do me this kindness. Admire me all the same. I admire you, said the little prince with a slight shrug of his shoulders. But why should that mean so much to you? And the little prince went away. Grown-ups are really very odd, he said to himself, as he continued on his journey. Chapter 12. The next planet was inhabited by a drunkard. This visit was a very short one, but it affected the little prince with deep sadness. What are you doing here? He said to the drunkard, whom he found sitting silently in front of a collection of bottles, some empty, some full. I'm drinking, answered the drunkard. Why are you drinking? The little prince asked. In order to forget, replied the drunkard. has gone out. 3 plus 2 make 5. 5 plus 7 make 12. 12 plus 3 make 15. Good morning. 15 plus 7 make 22. 22 plus 6 make 28. No time to light it again. 26 plus 5 make 31. Phew. Then that makes 501,622,731. 500 million of what? Are you still there? 501 million of, I don't remember. I have so much work. I am a serious man. I don't amuse myself with balderdash. 2 and 5 make 7. 501 million of what? Repeated the little prince, who never in his life let go of a question once he asked it. The businessman raised his head. During the 54 years that I have been living on this planet, I have only been disturbed 3 times. The first time was 22 years ago by a person who dropped down from goodness knows where. He made the most awful noise, and I made 4 errors in my subs. The second time was 11 years ago by an attack of rheumatism. I didn't get enough exercise. I have no time for slacking. I'm a serious man. The third time, well, this is it. As I was saying, 501 million. Million of what? The businessman suddenly realized that there was no hope of being left in peace. Of those small objects one sometimes sees in the sky. Flies. Oh no. Small glittering objects. Bees. Oh no. Small golden objects that set lazy men to idle dreaming. But I am a serious man. I have no time for idle dreaming. Ah, you mean stars. Yes, that's it. The stars. And what do you do with 500 million stars? 501,622,731. I am a serious man. I am accurate. What do you do with 500 million stars? 501,622,731. And what do you do with them? What do I do with them? Yes. Nothing. I own them. You own the stars. Yes. But I have barely seen a king who... Kings own nothing. They reign. Is quite different. And what use is it to you to own the stars? It makes me rich. And what is the point of being rich? It enables me to buy other stars. And if anybody can find any. This man, the little prince said to himself, reasons a bit like my drunkard. Nonetheless, he put a few more questions. How can one own stars? Whose are they? The businessman asked peevishly. I don't know. They don't belong to anyone. In which case, they are mine, because I was the first person to think of it. Is that sufficient? Of course it is. When you find a diamond that belongs to nobody, it is yours. When you discover an island that belongs to no one, it is yours. When you are the first to have an idea, you take out a patent on it, it is yours. And I own the stars because nobody else before me thought of owning them. That is logical, said the little prince. And what do you stars on a piece of paper, and then I put it in a drawer, and I lock it with a key. And is that all? It is enough. Quite amusing, thought the little prince. Rather poetic, but an exercise of no real importance. The little prince's ideas about what was important were very different from those of grown-ups. I myself own a flower which I water every day, he told the businessman. I own three volcanoes which I clean out every week. I always include the one which is extinct. One never knows. It is good for my volcanoes and good for the flower I own. But you are no use to the stars. The businessman opened his mouth, but found nothing to say. And the little prince went on his way. Grown-ups are certainly absolutely extraordinary, he said to himself as he continued on his journey. Very strange. It was the smallest of all. There was just enough room for a lamppost and a lamplighter. The little prince wondered what could be the use of a lamppost and a lamplighter somewhere in the sky, on a planet without houses or people. Nonetheless, he said to himself, perhaps the lamplighter is absurd. However, he is not as absurd as the king, the conceited man, the businessman, his work has some meaning. When he lights his street lamps, it is as if he brought one more star to life, or one more flower. When he extinguishes his lamp, it puts the flower or the star to sleep. It is a beautiful occupation, and since it is beautiful, it is truly useful. When he arrived on the planet, he saluted the lamplighter respectfully. Good morning, sir. Why have you just put out your lamp? Those are the orders, replied the lamplighter. Good morning. What are the orders? The orders that I put out my lamp. Good evening. And he lit his lamp again. But why have you just lit it again? Those are the orders, replied the lamplighter. Understand, said the little prince. There is nothing to understand, said the lamplighter. Orders are orders. Good morning. And he put out his lamp. Then he mopped his brow with a handkerchief decorated with red squares. My calling is a terrible one. In the old days, it was reasonable. I put out the lamp in the morning and lit it again in the evening. For the rest of the day, I could relax, and for the rest of the night, I could sleep. And the orders have been changed since then. The orders have not been changed, said the lamplighter. And that is the tragedy. From year to year, the speed of the planet's rotation has increased considerably, and the orders have not changed. And so, asked the little prince, well, now that the speed has reached one rotation per minute, I do not have a second's rest. I have to light up and put my lamp out once a minute. That is very funny. Where you live, a day only lasts 1 minute. It is not funny at all, said the lamplighter. We have already been talking together for a whole month. A month? Yes, 30 minutes. 30 days. Good evening. And he lit his lamp again. As the little prince watched him, he felt he had come to love this lamplighter, so faithful to his orders. He remembered the sunsets which he himself used to seek by simply moving his chair. He wanted to help his friend. You know, I believe there's a way which would allow you to take a rest sun. When you want to take a rest, you will walk, and the day will last for as long as you like. That wouldn't help me very much, said the lamplighter. The one thing I like in life is to sleep. That is unfortunate, said the little prince. That is unfortunate.